I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello everybody and welcome to Ramble React. Arsenal absolutely thrashed Sheffield United. I'm Marcus Speller.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
Andy, battered, buggered, bluted, flipping demolished.
Oh, that's just MK Dons.
Oh, hey. You said on the mailbag that you weren't really bothered about that rivalry, but now look at you. You got the Wimbledon top on, and you're already interrupting this Ramble Reacts, which is centred around Sheffield United 0, Arsenal 6, with your AFC Wimbledon chat. How do you explain yourself?
It turns out, as I explained to the mailbag listeners, it's complex, Marcus. It's very complex.
You only sing when you're winning. Andy, will we ever see Sheffield United sing again?
I don't think they'll be doing Phil Brown on the pitch. Let's put it that way on the final game of the season.
I would hope not, Andy.
much as we want to see Brownie return to his rightful place when Kidderminster are in the Premier League, I think... It's a bit sad, isn't it? Because I've heard a lot since Harry Kane's move to Germany, an expression that I hadn't really heard before, buffet games. You know, the idea that there is, say, a bottom third or a bottom quarter of the table on which Kane would absolutely feast, and that would help get his numbers up and all that sort of stuff. We were chatting on the WhatsApp, weren't we, while we were watching this game in our separate abodes.
I'm not afraid to admit it.
Because you've not submitted to Living in Sin with me, Marcus. I'm still working on it, listeners. I think the thing was that 15 minutes in, we were just, you know, this could be anything. This could be anything. It's really...
It never is 10. It never is 10, Andy. I thought we were going to get 10 tonight.
Is that the saddest bit? Not the one-sidedness of it, but there's not a 10.
I think Arsenal, an absolute disgrace, because they were 5-0 up at half-time. They could have had another 5. We could have been sitting here thinking, bloody Nora, we've finally seen 10-0, but we didn't get it, and I blame Arsenal. Sheffield United played their part.
They did.
But Arsenal let everybody down.
Well, that's it. On the rare occasion, they had a little foray into the Arsenal half in the second half. You're thinking, Chris Wilder's probably the last manager out there who's going to say, oh, well, we drew the second half, if they get themselves a goal at this point, isn't he?
Yeah, couldn't do it. Yeah. Could not do it. I mean, Sheffield United went into this having conceded 5 goals in their last 3 games at Bramall Lane. A fortress it is not. They became the first team in English football in English football history to concede 5 goals in 4 straight home games. It is absolutely damning, Andy Brassel. It is, all joking aside, when the first goes in, okay, fine, we expect Arsenal to fly out the traps as they have been doing. The second goal, the manner of it, you just saw the players look at each other. And I think some of the fans thought, we can't leave now. I mean, that is a bit too early. Let's at least give it 25 minutes. And a lot of them left. But you in that moment, in that moment for me, when that second goal, the own goal went in, you just saw morale's gone, totally gone.
Yeah, and it's funny, you were talking about empty seats, Marcus. I was just watching a replay on Sky. They were just chatting over the Ben White goal. Brilliant goal, actually. The one after the break that Grbic nearly made a great save from but couldn't quite get to. And you can see as the ball goes down that Arsenal right towards the away end, that there's quite a lot of empty seats at that point.
And people were leaving after, was it the third?
Yeah.
After 25 minutes or the fourth?
That's it. Well, this was West Ham versus Arsenal all over again, really, wasn't it? And I mean, that's the thing. Like, people will draw, I think, a lot of quick and obvious conclusions about, I've heard it said a lot over recent weeks, about the widening gap between the Premier League and the Championship. Mm-hmm. But I think this is such a match of extremes. I don't think you can draw hard and fast conclusions from this, because we're talking about a team that, you speak to people who know Sheffield United and Sheffield United fans before the start of the season, and they kind of predicted this, didn't they?
Yeah.
You know, they had no money.
Yeah.
They lost some important players. They had no money to replace them. They've brought in a coach in Chris Wilder, who obviously has a good history with the club, but wouldn't get any other Premier League job, as we've already discussed, and would maybe struggle to get a job in the top half of the Championship at the moment as well. And we're talking about an Arsenal side that are unbelievable and absolutely tearing most sides to shreds. So to use this as a discussion about, you know, the existential problem we've got in terms of, you know, the Premier League, like, pulling up the rope ladder, I don't really think that's quite right. I think that's an incorrect framing of it, even though it can be quite tempting to, especially watching this and thinking, well, you know, the game's dead after 15 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, after 15 minutes, for me, I just looked at those Sheffield United fans and I thought, surely they're all just thinking, get this season over with. Like, if they could just sort of go, do you know what? Let's take a pill and we'll wake up in August. Yes, like that lovely old job. Do you know what I mean? Like, get us to the Championship as soon as possible. Put us out of our misery, and let's kind of regroup.
So you think this goes back to what Luke was discussing the other week? Actually,
remind me what that was.
You know when he was talking about the people underestimating how miserable it is.
Oh, sorry,
supporting
yes.
a side that's struggling. I mean, this is different. This isn't a side that's struggling.
No.
This is a side that has never even been in this season.
No,
isn't it?
This is a side that's dead in terms of the Premier League. They've gone.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about it. I mean, I know Derby County fans will think, hang on a minute, what are you mentioning us for? But think about how...
They won't think that.
Well, yeah.
They'll know.
But Andy, like, if you think this has been bad for Sheffield United, and it has, and of course Burnley are on the same amount of points as well, 13. That season, Derby County set the record, was 11 points. So already Sheffield United and Burnley have got more points than Derby did that season. That's how bad that season was for Derby. Mm. But look, let's get back to what we were talking about here. Yeah, I honestly, you often hear people say, oh, you don't want to get promoted too early. And a lot of people disagree with that statement. Some people agree with it. A lot of people think, no, just go up and see how you get on, have an adventure, and you get the parachute payments. And I understand that. I don't think this is a right or wrong answer necessarily, but you do look at this Sheffield United team and the club, and you think, okay, they will get the parachute payments, fine. But you have to say, you lean towards they got promoted at a time when perhaps maybe sticking around in the Championship for another season or two would have been a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Sheffield United have been there before, haven't they? Like, flying from 3-1 quickly. And, you know, I think it just puts into perspective the last time they were in the Premier League. It was a miracle, really, that first season.
Yeah.
It was an absolutely extraordinary journey for them. I mean, I suppose you could argue that, you know, you need a very special sort of club in terms of culture, in terms of prudence, in terms of playing the long game, a bit like Burnley or Norwich in times past, to do that thing of being a yo-yo club and squirreling away that Premier League money. To say that that is going to be our plan, I think is much easier said than done. And of course, in the past, it's really stood Burnley in good stead having done that. But I think with Sheffield United, it was just like
it's the manner of it.
I mean, obviously they deserve to come up. You know, they got themselves a promotion place and they deserved it. No one's arguing
with
that.
League table does not lie.
No, it doesn't. But if you think almost any of the other teams would have been better prepared for it than them, really. Mm. I think you could argue, maybe Coventry are an exception, but Sheffield United always looked on a hiding to nothing. I guess that is what must make it so difficult for these supporters, that they've, you know, it might have been that everyone else looked at Luton and thought, yeah, this is the team that's going to finish bottom of the Premier League by a mile. But I think a lot of Sheffield United fans knew this was coming, and it's all kind of happening slow-mo for them.
Yeah, definitely. I think Luton have been a little bit of a surprise, but people expected them to be down there. I think Burnley, because they were so good last season and because of Vincent Kompany, really, whether that's foolish to look at him because we remember his playing career or not, I think people thought, okay, they might have something of the promoted sides. But you're right, Sheffield United, I don't think people gave too much of a chance. I mean, they've now conceded 72 goals this season. We actually sent out a tweet at halftime for thoughts of Sheffield United fans, and we got this from Martin, who said of Sheffield United, "We failed to prepare for the season. It has been embarrassing all season. I've never hated football as much as I have this season. It's enough to break a fan's resolve and love for the team. I'd take a ban from getting promoted for at least 3 years." I mean, Martin, this is the thing, Andy. This is what I mean when you think, did they get promoted too early? Now, if you have a go, you go up the Premier League, and even if you get something like 25 points or 28 points or something, it's not quite enough, and you go down and you finish second from bottom, and you were alive until the last few weeks of the season, something like that. Mm. You think, oh, well, there was that point away from home at one of the big sides, or when they pushed Man City all the way, or whatever it may be. The manner of this is just demoralising. Like, again, you look at those Sheffield United players, the goals are running. It was barely even training ground stuff. The ease in which Arsenal could just canter up to the final third of the pitch. You look around, and I was, you know, the camera would pan to Chris Wilder. I was just like, what do you say at half time? I admire some of those Sheffield United fans staying to the bitter end. But the whole thing is just so, like, from their point of view, depressing.
Yeah, on Sky, where they're talking about it afterwards, you have Dave Jones, Thierry Henry and Jamie Carragher. And they have behind them the two sort of souped-up symbols of the club. So these gleaming swords for Sheffield United, the blades, and these smoking cannons on the Arsenal side.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of that Jay-Z line about bringing a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah. The cannon is mightier than the sword.
Yeah, yeah. But I think we have to say as well, you know, we touched on it before. Arsenal have done this to other teams. They'll probably do it to a few teams more before the end of the season. And what they're doing at the moment, what they've done last season and this season, is better than any of the best parts of the coda of the Wenger era. Because the bits where they looked as if they were a bit compromised in terms of Champions League qualification, obviously when they're operating on quite different means, they were always good under Wenger at taking apart the weaker teams.
Yeah.
And they are just absolutely reveling in that, as well as being able to take on the very best, as well as we've seen in various parts of the season. And, you know, I think because of the Manchester City-Liverpool narrative, and Liverpool have really come alive again this season, obviously, and the fact that they have been the two who've been going at it for years and years and years, we can almost be in danger of forgetting Arsenal a little bit. Now, I know Arsenal fans won't be, but I think in terms of a title race, if we're talking about a three-team race, going into the last couple of games of the Premier League season. I don't want to jump the gun or anything here.
Well, I think it's fair to speculate on that, though.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that would be the first time that's happened, probably since 86, when you went into the last game of the season where you had Liverpool, Everton and West Ham all in with a chance of winning the title, which is remarkable. You know, that's not even one generation. That's two generations.
It's remarkable to think of Everton and West Ham in for the title, Andy, quite frankly.
Yeah, it is. But I think when you think that, when you look at the, you know, City winning so often over the last couple of years, and how good City are, how good they were in winning the treble last season, for Liverpool and Arsenal to get themselves in this spot at this point in the season is just incredible.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
And so we can say, okay, that, well, Sheffield United were no match for them, they just trampled all over them. But they still had the appetite to rack those goals up. They didn't get to two or three and then go, all right, we'll just knock it about from here. And I suppose they'll look at that moment as well. And when Martinelli went off injured, and of course, anyone can get injured at any time. Yeah. You know, they could be doing light training and you could turn an ankle or whatever. But still, you feel that Arsenal have got the depth to deal with it. You know, they brought Gabriel Jesus on, you know, always nice to have a Gabriel in there.
Yes.
And you just think what Arsenal have managed to do in any normal season, when you've got one dominant team in the Premier League, they're top with some comfort. Mm-hmm. But such is the standard of this title race that we're looking at something that, you know, really shouldn't be possible in the era of City, and it shows you how good Arsenal and Liverpool are at the moment.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair comment. And yeah, I know what you mean. Arsenal, the way they went about the task is, we are going to get that goal difference up. And I think that, you know, despite my silly comments earlier, in that second half, yeah, they're already five goals to the good. They add a sixth. Let's not get any injuries here. Let's keep going, you know, and if we get another one, great. But the title race could come down to goal difference. You know, these big scores that Arsenal have been producing of late, you never know, it might be the difference. So they're very aware of that. And also, I think to go 2 or 3 nil up and just then start knocking the ball about, Arteta knows that that's just not what he wants. He wants that momentum. He wants them to just keep scoring goals, because that is good for any team. I mean, there is that kind of old-fashioned mentality of thinking, come on, you shouldn't beat a team too badly. Because, you know, in that first half, honestly, it was Germany-Brazil semi-final stuff at times. But I think, actually, no, you have to think about yourselves, and you have to think, actually, getting that goal difference up is good. And it's good for morale. You saw every goal they celebrated, every goal they enjoyed. It wasn't a case of, you know, a bit like if, you know, when you see, I don't know, Germany beating San Marino 12-0 or something like that, and you just think, oh, yeah, they're whatever, fine. Yeah, people have come to pay their money to watch us play, so we might as well score a few goals. You know, this is different, and it shows you the team's spirit. And I mean, such a contrast. Obviously, in terms of quality, the contrast is blatantly obvious to see. But in terms of team spirit and morale and all the rest of it, again, it's just absolute night and day between the two sides. On a lighter note, listener Peter tweeted us this. At 3-0, I wanted to see Arteta eating a sandwich in the technical area. And then just outside the technical area to enrage Richard Keys as well, which is going to reel them both in there, I suppose.
With holes in the back of his socks.
Yeah, yes, exactly, yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together.
J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I'm Martin Keown and you're listening to Football Ramble.
Yeah, maybe just once more about the Football Ramble. That'd be all right.
Hi. I'm Martin Keown and you're listening to the Football Ramble. I'm Martin Keown.
Kai Havertz scored the 150,000th goal in English top flight history.
Really?
How about that?
Huh.
Yeah, there was
that
no...
That is something.
Well, I'm quite keen for these kind of milestones to be marked, even though... It just happens to be someone who did it because I did see the 10,000th goal scored at the Azteca Stadium. And if you remember that story, when okay. I'm sure I've told this on the Ramble before, but the goal went in, fireworks, everything. The guy was given a little something or other to mark the occasion. And I just thought, yeah, I mean...
Give Kai Havertz a sparkler.
Yeah, it's just another goal. Yeah. It is just another goal. But but I was there for it. They had fireworks. And minutes before that, a crappy own goal was nearly scored from the away team. So it was just as well that that never went in. It was
so that could have been it.
That would have been
are
hilarious.
You sure that, are you sure that maybe we said this before in the Ramble as well, but are you sure the fireworks weren't just for you being there?
Well, I did think that. I did think that. They went off when I arrived. And, you know, maybe they malfunctioned and went off just before I'd left, but there we are. Well,
what about when you were chaired onto the pitch? I mean, they didn't want to set your bum on fire, I suppose.
That's very
they?
True, yeah. It was a lot of hand over hearts and national anthems of all sorts of things. Did you think it was a bit of a piss take when Martin Odegaard started his post-match tonight by saying, "We know it's a tough place to come"? Because it's just not true. Martin Odegaard, I mean, he obviously got the scoring underway, which was incredible. When he scored in the fifth minute, Alan Smith on commentary said, "Well, it has been coming." It's like, yeah, bloody Nora. Oh, dearie me. But let's finish with a bit of Arsenal chat in terms of their title tilt. They can do it, mm-hmm. but do you think they will, Andy?
We talked, didn't we, about recent years and how the Premier League has gone in a certain direction. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do feel, until proved otherwise, that the overwhelming inevitability of Manchester City.
Yeah,
I do feel that. Even though City have, I've almost been quite game this season, haven't they? You know, they have given you the impression that you have at least got a chance to score a goal against them.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen a few teams that really we wouldn't expect, you know, at least flirt with getting a result against them. Like Manchester United.
Like Sheffield United earlier on in the season.
Yeah, like Sheffield United, like Chelsea getting a draw at the Etihad, mm-hmm. all those sort of things. It's definitely possible. I guess the problem is that City make you commit to such a relentless pace.
Yeah.
There can be no slips. And that is the thing in the minds of Liverpool and Arsenal, isn't it? That they just know that there can be no slips. And for Arsenal to know that, you know, it's not just a case of bettering City, they've got better Liverpool as well. Mm. It's the ultimate challenge. And if one of Liverpool... Well, I guess if City win this league, mm-hmm. Guardiola might say it's the best title win we've had since I've been here. I think he might say that. It feels to me like the sort of thing he might say, especially given the competition. If Liverpool win, it's an absolute pinnacle. And in the modern era, and of course, you know, the fact that when they won in 2020, it was behind closed doors. It was kind of a bit of a shame after they'd waited for so long. And then Arsenal, if they manage to put one over City and Liverpool, who've really dominated at the top of the Premier League almost without exception for a number of years now, which is probably why Klopp needs a little bit of time off. Well, it's definitely why Klopp needs a bit of time off, isn't it? That would be an unbelievable achievement for Arteta. So
I think highlighting the names there, I think, makes you think that Arsenal are probably third favourites, because Klopp's been there and done it with Liverpool, as have a number of those players. Guardiola and Man City are still the team to beat. They are the champions ultimately, even though they're not top of the league. But in terms of keeping that pace, as you said, I mean, this calendar year, Arsenal have been so, so good in the league. I mean, it was on the 31st of December they were beaten by Fulham, lest we forget, at Craven Cottage, after they'd been beaten by West Ham at home. But they were so poor against Fulham, and it was very unlike Arsenal. And I honestly thought to myself, oh, of Arsenal, are they just dropping away? They're fading away now. They're going to finish third, probably, a comfortable third. But ultimately, Liverpool and Man City are going to pull away. Then they lose to Liverpool in the FA Cup, and you think, all right, we've seen this before. And then suddenly, 5-0 against Palace. They beat Forest. They beat Liverpool. That was such a huge hurdle. And then they've just gone on this run, other than the Champions League game against FC Porto, seems like a massive anomaly in there. 6-0 West Ham, 5-0 Burnley, 4-1 Newcastle, 6-0 Sheffield United. They look like they are hitting form at the right time, so they're going to go into the business end of the season full of beans. Now, some say maybe they've gone too early, because surely you just can't keep winning. Well, we shall see, but it is not too dissimilar to that season under Wenger, where they put the afterburners on and went for it in the back end of the season.
So what, we're talking 98, I suppose, aren't we?
97-98. And by the way, here's a stat for you. Arsenal have already scored more goals this season than they did in the entire season in 97-98.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because they've been talking about... fans have been talking about a striker for ages. Media have been talking about a striker for ages. You know, I suppose it goes to show, maybe you don't necessarily need that one player. I mean, I think we all know they're going to go out and try for a big striker this summer. But I think, you know, you look at the way that, say, I don't know, Bayern, for example, spread the goals around post Lewandowski.
Yeah.
They've now got a player who is going to break every record in the Bundesliga, and it's not going to make them win the league. But, you know, it shows that, I guess, you don't necessarily need that player if you have enough scoring threats. Although, I guess, if they don't win the league, they'll look back at that bit either side of Christmas when they couldn't quite put their chances away and think, if we'd have had that player, maybe that player would have seen us over the line.
Quite possibly. I mean, Thierry Henry on Sky was suggesting after the game that Arsenal might not need a striker in the summer now. It's the way they spread the goals out. It will be interesting to see what they do, Arsenal, whatever happens, of course, come the end of the season. But, yeah, I think it would be incredible if Arsenal won the league. As I say, due to the personnel, the manager and some of the players, you would have them third favourites. But Arsenal have got a chance this coming weekend, because Liverpool and Man City play each other. So they will, if they beat Brentford, which you'd fancy them to do so, they will overtake at least one of them.
Yeah, that's right. And I think I agree with you. I think when you look at the experience and the quality of Klopp and Guardiola, it would be an enormous feather in the cap of a still quite young manager, actually, in Arteta in his first major job. I mean, there could be no greater prize, I suppose, than him winning the Premier League at this point in his career. I suppose the greater prize would be round the corner. It will be when Barcelona approach him and go, I'll tell you what, you've won the Premier League with Arsenal. How about you come and work on a far smaller budget for about a third of the money you're currently
getting? Exactly, yeah.
What do you mean, no?
Yeah, I mean, remarkable, isn't it? But yeah, but you can't understate the job Mikel Arteta has done there at Arsenal. It's been so, so good. I mean, I know they fell away last season, but still, though, the fact is that last season, that the Emirates was buzzing in a way we hadn't seen for so long.
Yeah, exactly.
And they've carried on this season. They've made some good signings. They're there. They're playing a more effective style of football. You know, we've talked about the style perhaps being a bit more rugged at times and so on, but scoring goals, winning games, they're there. It's been great at the top of the table this season in the Premier League, and we haven't said that for too long. Man City and Liverpool have given us some great title run-ins, you know, and kudos to them both. But the fact that Arsenal are there at the moment is absolutely massive.
Yeah, and I think if you're Arteta as well, you're probably thinking, okay, I'm going to outlast Klopp. What are the chances of me outlasting Guardiola?
Yeah,
because the minute that Guardiola goes,
yeah,
however administratively strong City are, however stable they are as an institution, notwithstanding potential punishments down the line, you know, love them or loathe them, they're an incredibly well-run club, as well as the best team in Europe. But it will have an inevitable huge effect when Guardiola goes.
Totally.
So all you can do as a rival is be ready to pounce. So you're ready to pounce this season.
Yep.
If they slip or they're distracted or they get the odd duff result, you know, Arsenal have already put themselves in the position to take any opportunity that might come their way. You know, it could be an absolutely seismic moment for the Premier League.
Could be. And with the news that Bayern have reportedly opened talks with Xabi Alonso about taking the job there, Arsenal will want that, because they won't want Xabi Alonso pitching up at Liverpool. Now, it would still be a huge job and so on, but, you know, what Alonso's done with Bayer Leverkusen this season, he's just simply phenomenal. So, you know, they want... they'd be happy if Thomas Tuchel went to Liverpool, Andy, let's be honest.
they would, but do you know what? The idea of Arteta and Xabi Alonso, like, locking horns in the Premier League.
Saucy.
Like that would still be incredible. You know,
but
bear in mind,
if you're an Arsenal fan, you think, keep Xabi Alonso in the Bundesliga. We're happy with that.
For sure. But, like, you know, you're talking about two guys who were, like, neighbours as kids. That's just insane, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, how amazing would that be? It would be a much, much, much less poisonous version of, I was going to say Mourinho versus, and then I'm like, Mourinho versus anybody.
It's getting interesting as the season goes on. So
it's time for the Premier League to get young and handsome again, Marcus.
I think
that's what it is. And seeing as Fulham haven't offered you the job yet, well, we'll have to make do with it in the upper echelons.
Hang on, what job
league,
of Fulham? Marco Silva's doing a fine job.
Come on, he's going to switch on you at some point, let's be honest.
No, he isn't, Andy. No, he is not. He's job for life.
Probably.
Can I give a mention, as we're blowing smoke up all Arsenal's cannons, their former man Alexis Sanchez got a winning goal for Inter this evening, so they are 15 points clear at the top of Serie A, I believe. So some leagues are a bit predictable for my liking and a bit boring. So
that's exactly it. Same team wins Serie A every year.
Dear me, here we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Join us on Wednesday, of course, where we'll have some Champions League chat and so much more, everybody. So much more. In the meantime, do find us on X or Twitter if you're old-fashioned, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble, and follow us on Spotify. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.
And thank you, Arsenal, for such a wonderful footballing display. Lots of love. We'll see you on Wednesday.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.